We are a believing church that believes that God can do in miracles in our lives. And some of you here this morning need a miracle. You need a touch from God, whether that be healing, whether that be relationship, financial, whatever it is. You need God to move in your life. Maybe you came today and you didn't know what to expect, and you just need a touch from God. And so I want to pray for you. If that's you, you just need a move of God in your life. Would you just raise your hand as an act saying, yep, that's me. I need God to do something. Would you just keep your hand up? And I'm going to pray with you right now. Lord, you see these hands that are lifted up to you. Lord, I don't know what each person needs, but you do. And you are a God who heals. You are a God who frees. You're a God who breaks chains. You're a God who delivers. And so we pray by the mighty name of Jesus that you would move and touch in each person's hand that is raised right now, that they would feel your incredible presence in their lives, and that you would move according to your power and will, and that victory will happen starting today. Victory will take place starting right here, right now in their lives. We claim it and we believe in it, and we know that you love us and care for us. And so we pray that in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. We want to dismiss our fifth Club 56. That's our fifth and sixth graders to go to their class right now. So they go right out those doors. We as a church are right in the middle of a 21-day fasting and prayer. We started this on September 1st, going through next Sunday, September 21st, where we're asking you to seek the Lord through fasting and prayer, whether that be fasting one meal, one day, several days, whatever it is, that you just grow closer to God, that you draw closer to him and he will draw close to you, and that you present the need that you have in your life and that God will move. I think great things happen when we fast and pray, when we seek the face of God. And so we are focusing on that during the next 3 weeks. After the 21st, we're going to start a new series called the I Am series. We're going to look at the seven I Ams that Jesus declared to be in the Gospel of John. So it's going to be awesome. Today, I've asked my dad to come and preach the word for us. My dad has been in full-time ministry for over 50 years, which means he's really, really old. And so, no, I'm just kidding. He's been around this and doing this. He doesn't get to preach as much as he used to. And so I said, hey, Dad, would you like to come and give us the word of God here this morning? And he said he'd be happy to do that. I always love listening to him preach. Man, he's just, there's always a risk. Because he'll admit it, he's going to use some illustrations about me. So, would you give a hand to Pastor Ray Weed?
So my grandson's back there, and he's trying to turn the mic bad, you know, when I get up here to speak. So when you are my age and you come up to the platform, the first thing you look for is a handrail, and they don't have any handrails. I don't know what's going on here. But it is a joy to preach. I love the Word of God. I love to teach the Word of God. One of the greatest joys in my life is to see my children serve God, but also to respond to the call of God upon their lives. And several of them have felt the call to preach, and I just am blessed by that. I'm a little intimidated because my grandson, Ethan, he walks back and forth, and I can't do that this morning. But I'm sure proud of him. And my grandson, Aiden, who many of you know and has grew up in this church, he's preaching this morning in the church I pastored for 32 years, Canyon Road Assembly of God. And of course, I'm proud of all my children. I love them a great deal. So we have life groups here at the church, and I love life groups. And one of the life groups is you can come and to hear, and they divide up in groups, and we're dealing with taking into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And when I was gone and to a conference of any kind, I'd always call back, and Dane was my youth pastor, and I'd say, "Dane, how did things go?" And he would say, "Oh, they went great, you know." And I don't know how to feel about that, because they always go good when I'm not there, you know. But anyway, we have a tradition in our home where we have tacos on Saturday night, and my daughter was there, and she said, "How did the life groups go? How did Wednesday night go?" And I said, "It went fine." And then I come to find out that the security cameras in the church can see everything that's going on in the foyer, and that's where we were. And I was getting these texts. Thank the Lord I wasn't reading them. But I could read them to you this morning. Oh, I probably shouldn't. But it says, "Dad, go and talk to somebody else," or "Quit showing pictures here." He was just being really... Actually, I don't think it was him. I think it was his sister that was doing it. So you can't get away from the pastor, even though he's in Florida. He's checking out. I want to know what you're doing. Well, we've been talking about fasting and prayer. And the fasting part is to give up food so that we can spend time in communion with God, to get closer to God. And our text this morning has to do with connecting with Jesus, to abide in Jesus. And that's so important. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to turn to Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, and we're going to read the first 8 verses. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that you love us and that you care about us. And our desire is to know you better. We want to draw near to you, and you have promised to draw near to us. And you've called us to be fruit bearers, to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. So I pray this morning that each one of us will stay connected to you, that we will know you better, and to have the Holy Spirit that abides in us produce the fruit for the glory of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. These words that we read this morning are words that Jesus spoke to his close friends, his disciples. They were words that were spoken just prior to his crucifixion. And he knew that it was important for them to understand the relationship he would have with them even after He was crucified on the cross, and he died, but he rose again, and he would live in their lives by means of the Holy Spirit. But we know that the final words of a person are vital. They are important. And so as we listen this morning to what Jesus is saying to the disciples, he is speaking to you and I as well, and he wants us to understand the importance of abiding in him. That's the theme of this passage, is abide in me. But abiding in Christ has a purpose. It is not just merely to enjoy, and we do enjoy the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, do we not? Thank God for his presence, and we sing about it. Here in his presence, we talked about that this morning, but the Holy Spirit flows into our lives that it may produce fruit. Jesus used different methods in his teaching. He often would use parables. Parables are short stories that teach a principle. But he also used allegories. Allegories are metaphors of layers with multiple meanings. And in this passage, Jesus says, I am the vine. Christ is the vine. And he says the disciples and us as believers are branches. And he talks about the fruit that we are to bear in our lives. And then he finally says, I want you to know that God the Father is the vine dresser. As we study this allegory, we are going to learn some principles that are important to us in our relationship with God. Now, why did Jesus use an allegory and an imagery of the vine? Well, the vine was very well known in Palestine. In fact, the vine was sort of a symbol, like the eagle is a symbol in the United States. And in the Old Testament, the vine or the vineyard was often referred to. Isaiah the prophet said that Israel was the vineyard that God had planted, but it brought forth bad fruit. And so these disciples, as they're hearing Jesus talk about the vine and the vineyard, they would understand what he was saying, because they knew from the Old Testament, Israel as a nation was a vineyard, but now he was talking to them as individuals, and he was expressing to them that they are a part of the vine, they're part of the vineyard, they are the branches, and the branches are to produce fruit. When we lived in Roy, Utah, we bought a home that already had a grapevine. The grapevine was along the fence in the back of our patio. And we didn't know anything about grapevines. We didn't know anything about growing grapes. But in the fall, we went out there and said, oh, good, we get to pick some grapes. We're going to have some grape juice, you know. And we had a lot of branches, but we had no grapes. And so we discovered that if we're going to have a grapevine in our backyard, we ought to learn how to grow grapes. And we discovered this, that grapevines need pruning, and they need to be pruned correctly. So my wife was very diligent to read, and she, when I watched her out there cutting the grapevine, I thought, wow, she's destroying it. But she was cutting all the branches off, and it looked really bad. And I thought, we'll never get grapes from that grapevine. But you know what? In the fall, we had abundance of grapes. We had so much grapes that we said, we're going to buy a juicer. How many know what a juicer is? You put the grapes in and heat it up, and boy, you have grape juice. And I love the aroma of grapes being cooked on the stove and producing grape juice. But we had so much grape juice. We had gallons of grape juice, and we didn't know what to do with it. We needed to give it away or something. Well, we said, I know. First Sunday of the month, we have communion. The church will no longer have to buy grape juice. We'll have plenty of it. But you know what? We discovered that there was 1 gallon of grape juice that we took to church that didn't have the lid on tight. And, of course, we didn't test it ahead of time. But we knew when they took, now take the juice, which represents the body, the blood of Christ, and everybody starts coughing. Unfortunately, I think it had fermented a little bit. I was kind of interested that Dane kept coming back for seconds. I don't know what it was. Anyway, we had so much grape juice, we had to give it away. You know what? When you're you as the branch, because you are branches, it's not just that the Holy Spirit's life is poured into you. We're not connected to the vine to just feel good. And it's wonderful to feel the Holy Spirit. Amen. But branches are to bear fruit. And God wants you to bear so much fruit that you can give it away. You know, if you have joy, love, peace, kindness, gentleness, meekness, don't just receive those fruits of the Spirit, but give those fruits of the Spirit and touch the lives of others. And so Jesus said, whoever abides in me and I in him, he is the one that bears much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. So this allegory teaches us the fact that Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, describes himself as, I am the true vine. It means that Jesus is genuine. He's the true vine. If you want true life, if you want true peace, if you want true joy, then stay connected to Jesus, because he is the true vine. True is the word true is significant because there is no greater source to our life than Jesus as the true vine. To know Jesus is to know the true source of life. And what does that mean when you have the true source of life? It means that you have the divine nature. Now, we don't think of that very often, but the Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. So the Holy Spirit that is in you enables you to be partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4 says this, we are participants of the divine nature. Why? That we may escape the corruption that is in the world. Now, Dane shared this morning that we recognize this has been kind of a tough week because of the corruption that is in the world. But did you know, people, this morning, you've escaped it because you have the Holy Spirit in you. You can hear all that garbage if you want. Or you can turn to God and say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. That's where joy, true joy, comes from, the true vine, because Jesus is the true vine. Now, I didn't know this until Dane said it this morning, but it was in my sermon that Jesus expresses himself with the I am statement. And there are seven I am statements in the Gospel of John, and I want to give them to you this morning. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He is the one that brings spiritual nourishment to your life. Jesus in John 8:12 said, I am the light of the world. He provides spiritual illumination. You want to know truth? Jesus provides truth. I am the door of the sheep. John 10:7, he provides entry to salvation. There is salvation in no one else except him. He says, I am the good shepherd. Aren't you glad that he cares for us? He protects us. He's with you. Hallelujah. He is the resurrection and the life. John 11:25. He has the power over death. Glory to God. I'm getting older, and I don't fear death because I know Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And in John 14:6, it says, he is the path to God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way, friends. People may say, oh, if you try this or do that. You ever get sick and somebody tries to tell you what to do with because you're not feeling well? I'll tell you what to do. Trust Jesus. You know, isn't that funny? Take aspirins and go to bed. Well, why not pray? God hears our prayers. God is able to meet our needs. And in John 15, 1 to 5, he says, I am the true vine. We must, if you get nothing out of this message, get this one truth. We must stay connected to the vine. We must stay connected to him. How do we do this? We do it through prayer, through communion. If you're like me, and I'll confess this morning, there are times when my prayers just focus in on what I want God to do for me. You ever been like that? You get up in the morning and you say, God, here's my list. When your wife gets you up, she says, here's the honey-do list. Well, we say, God, here I am. I need you to do this. And when he doesn't seem to do what we're asking, we wonder why. Well, that's okay, because you know what? God wants us to ask. He said, ask and seek, and you'll find, knock on the door. He will hear your prayers. It's natural for us to want God to heal us when we're sick. But that's not real communion. Communion is entering into a relationship with God as a friend, as someone who cares. And the best way to do that is to praise him. I said earlier, and I've tried to make this a habit about every morning, I say, like the psalmist, and you know, David wrote this psalm, Psalm 34, when he was in trouble. And he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. We can praise him. That's communion. That's how we connect with Jesus. That's how we connect with the true vine. I normally don't come to the 9 o'clock service. I enjoy coming, but it's early for me, and I live in Brigham City. But this morning I spoke at the early service, so I had to set the alarm. I don't know what Alexa was thinking this morning, but when she woke me up, she says, get up! Well, I am telling you what we need to do is praise up. Get up and praise him. Begin your day with praise. God inhabits the praises of his people. And so you need power in your life. I do, every day. And if I'm going to stay connected to Jesus, if I'm going to stay connected to the vine, I will find my power and my strength as I praise him. So I encourage you to praise him. I love the words of Pastor David Jeremiah on the subject of praise, and I share it with you this morning. He says, when we offer the sacrifice of praise in time of trouble, it means we're giving up fear. We're giving up resentment. We're giving up anger. We're giving up self-centeredness. To praise God means to trust his plans, his provisions, his protection at all times, continually. We are to abide in him every moment of every day. And we can do that as we praise him continually. You can't stay angry and be praising God. It just doesn't work. You can't be thinking about yourself and your needs when you're praising God, because your focus is on who God is and how wonderful he is in your life. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. When you're connected to him, he knows your needs and he meets your needs. The Bible uses this description in Psalm 54:4. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. He holds you tight. I don't know, since the last time I spoke here, I think I've gained members in my family. I have now 5 great-grandchildren and another one on the way. My grandkids are busy, I'll tell you that. But I just tell you, God is so faithful and so good, and he supplies our needs. And I have discovered that when you're going through a hard time, you just need to trust God and seek the kingdom of God. I was young, believe it or not, and pastoring, and we didn't have very much. And I loved the Sermon on the Mount, and I would read it, and it would say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And you know, when you have needs, it's pretty hard to take hold of that promise and apply it to your life. And we happen to be going to a district thing with the Assemblies of God, and it seemed like everybody was being blessed. They had nice new automobiles, wore nice suits, and Bev and I came home, and we didn't have any money to even buy groceries. And we were pretty down in the dumps. And I got kind of mad. I said, honey, write down everything we need, because God knows what our needs are. So she wrote down everything. I said, now don't skimp on anything. Write down some of the things that are staples, you know, like flour and sugar and things that you don't have, but you got to have if you're going to have food on the table. And so we wrote it down. And this is back in the 70s, early 70s. And it came to $300. And I said, look, now we're going to get down on our knees. There was something in me right then. You know, I know you can pray standing up or sitting down. But I said, now, Bev, let's get on our knees. And let's lay that list of things that you feel we need that comes to $300 and lay it out before God and pray. And we did. And while we were praying, there was a knock on the door. And it was my brother-in-law and sister. And they lived in Montana, and they had come down to visit us. Didn't tell us they were coming. They came in, and my brother-in-law said, Ray, I just been feeling like I am so proud of you for what you're doing, because we pastored a real small church in Sturgis, South Dakota. And they said, we just really want to give you something to help you out. And he handed me a check. How much do you think it was? And you know what I said? Bev, why didn't you write more down there? But you know, we limit God sometimes too. We say, oh God, I don't want to be too greedy, but sometimes we need to just say, God, He said he came to give us life, its fullness. Amen? Abundant life. The second thing we see in this allegory is that the branches cannot produce fruit apart from the vine. The purpose of the branch is not to have the life from the vine. The purpose of the branch is to produce fruit. And sometimes we can come to church and we can say, God, I need you and just need a fresh outpouring of your Spirit, and the Holy Spirit does come. And aren't you glad that we have emotions and that we have feelings and we can sense the presence of God and the joy of the Lord comes upon us? But the branch is not just connected to the vine to have good feelings and to have the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit, or the sap, as we use the allegory, that is coming from the vine into you is to produce fruit. The branches have no value in themselves. The branch cannot build a home. The branch can't build furniture. The branch does no good for building a fire in the fireplace because it just burns up. The purpose of the branch is to produce fruit. And you are the branches. God wants you to be fruitful. He wants your life to be filled with joy, to be filled with love, to be filled with peace and contentment. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. So neither can you except you abide in me. Therefore, people, we must be connected to to the vine. We must stay connected to the vine. How do we do that? We do it by delighting in His Word. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." But here it comes. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in its season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper." If you want fruit in your life, then know God's Word. Abide in Him, and He in you, and His Word abide in you. How do you get the Word of God in you? It's not just reading the Word of God. It's memorizing the Word of God, studying the Word of God. You know, I have found that when you memorize the Word of God and you're in trouble, you can quote the Word of God. And it protects you. It helps you. There are so many distractions in life. We were talking about this Wednesday night in our Bible study, how we're distracted and our mind is to be brought into captivity to Christ. And what is the biggest distraction you have in life? Do you know what it is? You're right. It's right here. And the other day I went to the dentist and I didn't have my phone. Man, have you ever gone to the dentist and not have your phone and sit in the waiting room? Everybody else is on their phone. But you can read on your phone the Scripture, or you can memorize the Word of God, and it becomes strength to you. Because the Word of God sustains you. It protects your mind. His Word, David said, "I've hid in my heart that I might not sin." The Word of God is a protection to you. I don't know about you, but one of the biggest frightening things for me is sitting in the dentist chair when he starts to stick that long needle in. You know, anybody experience a little kind of anxiety there? That's when the Word of God really becomes a help. You start quoting the Word of God when the dentist comes in. I have never figured out why the dentist asks you so many questions while he's drilling on your teeth. I don't think he wants the answers, but he asks all these questions. "Well, how's your weekend?" "Well, The third thing we understand from this allegory is God, our Heavenly Father, is the vine dresser that prunes the branches. Jesus said, "My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." The vine dresser knows when to prune. He knows how to prune. He knows when to fertilize so that the vine will produce great fruit. The pruning in our lives can be correction. It sometimes might be that we change our attitudes. We often pray and say, "God, change a person," when God is saying, "What really needs to change is you." And that's part of God's pruning in our lives. And in the New Testament, when Jesus was about to be crucified, you remember the life of Peter? He was one of those kind of guys that says, "Man, I'm going to be right there beside you. God, I won't forsake you. I won't deny you." And when he did, he went through a pruning season in his life, a time of regret and transformation. But look what the pruning did. It prepared him for Pentecost. And on Pentecost, he stood up and preached, and he became a great leader in the early church. I read an article of a grapevine in London, England, that is 1,000 years old. It has roots which are at least 2 feet thick, and some of the branches are 200 feet long. And because of the skillful cutting and pruning, the vine produces several tons of grapes each year. Even though some of the smaller branches are 200 feet from the stem, they bear much fruit because they are joined to the vine and allow the life of the vine to flow through them. It is the vine dresser that makes the branches produce the fruit. But you know, the fruit doesn't come from the branches. The fruit comes from the vine. The branches produce the fruit, but the source for the fruit is the vine. Jesus is our source. It is Jesus that produces fruit in our lives. And the final thing that we learn from this allegory is that God desires much fruit. I love the progression. Jesus starts out and says, every branch bears fruit. And then he says, the vine dresser prunes the vine and it produces more fruit. But he's not satisfied. He says, and then it bears much fruit. I want to ask you this morning, what do you desire in your life? Do you just want fruit? Do you want more fruit? How about much fruit? God wants you to have much fruit in your life. And that's why God, the vine dresser, does the pruning. He says, abide in me and my words abide in you. And then he brings in a connection with prayer. Listen to this. He says, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Now, here's what we do a lot of times. Typically, we take the part that we want to read and apply it incorrectly. And a lot of people just take that portion of whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And so when it isn't done for us, we hold God accountable. We say, he didn't do what I wish. But look at what he says in the text. He's talking about abiding in him. Have you noticed when you're connected to God that your prayers are different? As you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you ask these things and it will be done for you. Why? That the Father may be glorified. So when you're praying, what he's saying is, do you wish much fruit? Do you? Do you wish to have peace and joy and the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Do you want more of it? Do you want much fruit? Ask, and God will give what you wish, that the Father may be glorified. Jesus wants you to bear fruit, and he wants God to be glorified in your prayer life and in your fruitful life. And then we are to love one another. He talks about this later in the passage. He says, a new commandment I give to you, he said, and that is love as I have loved you. Have you noticed that God loves us with a sacrificial love? If we're going to produce fruit, we're not going to have jealousies and disunity, but we're going to love one another as God loves us. Did you know that Paul picked up that theme when he said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. And so God wants us together as branches, not to look at one another and says, this branch has more sap, more of the Holy Spirit, and so they're more fruitful. No, we're all equally given the same amount of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's how we use the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit flows in us. We pray, God, I need more fruit in my life. I want some much fruit in my life. And God's word promises that he will give what you wish. So I wish that you would wish for much fruit. I would just love it this morning that you'd come back and say, I have too much fruit. I have to give it away. I have gallons of joy. I have a whole gallon of peace. I have a whole bunch of generosity. I just want to give away because God has given me that gift and I want to use it for His glory. Do you want to do that this morning? I pray that you will. And I believe God will honor your prayer if you desire that. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, it is so wonderful to read the Bible, to read the Word of God, to study the Word of God, to memorize the Word of God, to speak the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, that the Word of God today will work in each of our lives. You know what is needed in my life. You see me. You know where I need pruning. You know the corrections and the things I need to give up. And I just pray that each one of us will have that similar prayer. Lord, come and do some pruning in my life. I want fruit. I want much fruit in my life today. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.